What's in a name? Do you like your name? Do you not like your name? You think about that. You don't have a lot of choice in that. Although I understand you can change your name. It'll cost you some money, but you can do that. There are many people that do at times. It's interesting. There's a book out that's called Strange and Unusual Names. Within that, there's a section here of people with interesting names related to their occupations. So how about this? Joe Bunt. Joe Bunt. He's a baseball coach. Now that's a good name for a baseball coach, Joe Bunt. All right, how about this? This one's not so good. How about Dan Druff? Dan Druff. What do you think Dan Druff does? He's a barber. Dandruff. Well, these are not my names. These are other people's names. How about this? Jeff Treadwell. Jeff Treadwell. He's a podiatrist. He's a foot doctor. Treadwell. All right, get. Now, this one, I can't imagine that somebody would actually name themselves this, but this was in the book. Go forth and catch 'em. Two different names. Go forth and catch 'em. They were police officers and their partners. I'm serious. Go forth and catch 'em. I don't know where. It's in the book. That's all I can tell you. This one's kind of interesting. More of a religious bent to this one. O'Neill and Prayer. They're partners in church equipment. O'Neill and Prayer. All right, on the other side of this, how about a urologist by the name of Dr. P.P. Peters? That one might fit him. Think about it. You'll get it. All right, how about a plaster contractor? His name is Will Crumble. I'm not sure that we would want to have a plaster contractor with the name Will Crumble. He might need to change that name. When you think about that, it's kind of funny. But when you think about your name and what it means, what does God think of His name? And more importantly, how does He expect us to view His name? What are the things we can do to please God when we use His name? And are there ways that we might disrespect God by disusing His name? We're going to spend some time this week and next week in the Big Ten. The Big Ten in the Bible. Where in the Old Testament are the Ten Commandments located? Exodus 20. Good. You can remember that because there are Ten Commandments. Multiply it by two and you get 20. Exodus 20. That's how they told us in seminary to remember it. All right? So Exodus 20 is where the Ten Commandments are given in the Old Testament. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at two of those commandments over the next couple of weeks and just talk about them and how they relate to our lives. So we're in a new series here, and it is entitled Honoring God. Honoring God. Today we're going to talk about don't misuse God's name, and we're going to be in just a couple of verses in the Old Testament, but I need you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, and it's on page 54, and we're right in the middle of the Ten Commandments that were given to the nation of Israel. And so I'm going to read the third commandment. We're going to start with the third commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. And it says this, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name." It's interesting. God gave these commandments, gave them to His servant up on the mountain, and He just started going through these Ten Commandments. It's interesting that the third one has to do with God's name. And so there is some importance to this. I don't believe that you can look at a specific order here that the first is more important than the tenth or something. They are all important, but it's interesting that He would deal with His name in the top five because I think it is important to Him. Now, we don't know much about the name of God. At least I didn't before I actually studied this subject. And there's only one place, or one key place in the Bible where his name is given. Can you think of where that is? And there's a little discussion about it. It's in Exodus. It's in chapter 3. Very good. Turn with me then to Exodus chapter 3. And we're going to look at God's name. And he gives us a little definition to go with it. Now the story is, who went up and saw a burning bush? Moses saw a burning bush, and so he went up onto the mountain, and God had a conversation with him. And he shared some things with him. And he tells Moses, you are my man, you are going to lead a nation out of Egypt. I want you to do it. And so Moses hears this, and he's a little overwhelmed. Would you be overwhelmed if God came to you and asked you to do something on that scale? He could. In your lifetime, God could come to you and challenge you with something enormous. In fact, I hope he does. Gives you the opportunity to trust him and to seek after him. And so there begins a little discussion between the two of them. Look at verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Verse 12, and God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain right here. And then Moses, being kind of a smart guy and thinking, not a smart aleck, he was just a smart guy, he had some more questions about this. And he said to God, verse 13, hey, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they will ask me, what is his name? God, what should I tell them? And then we have this great verse in the Old Testament, verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And so maybe you've read this verse or you're familiar with this story. What does it mean that he is I am? What does that mean? What's the idea of this? And so on your outline, what we're going to do here is just look at the importance of Exodus 3:14. Okay, you can see that, and then just beyond that is the little words you need to put in the next little blank. I am. I am. So when God says, I am the great I am, what exactly does he mean by that? What is he trying to tell us? What is he saying at this point? Well, there's a couple of things that you need to know. Maybe you already know. In fact, I ask some people that I meet with on a weekly basis, what does it mean God's name is I am to you? And we talked a little bit about this, but it is interesting. When God says I am, let me give you some ideas, and maybe to the side or on the back of your notes there, let me see if I can just define this. I am, and what God is telling you is this. Number one, I am always there. These are not on PowerPoint or anything. I am means I am always there. I am means I, as God, am involved in your life. Second thing, I am involved in your life. Third thing, I am holding you up. When you go through the really difficult times of life, I am holding you up. Whatever you need, next thought, whatever you need, I am it. God is saying, whatever you need, I am it. Wherever you are, second thought, or next thought, wherever you are, I am there. Final thought, whatever you are doing, I am with you. When God gave us his name, it's hard just looking in this to say I am, to understand this, but as you take the words, the concepts that flow out of what God was saying to Moses, it involves all of those things. I'm there with you when you go to the job interview for the first time. I'm there with you when you go into surgery and you're all alone. Those last moments before you go into surgery, I am there. I am there in your old age. I'm there in your young age. I am. What he's saying here is this is the God that I am. This is the kind of God I am. Here's the problem. The problem with most of us, and many of us, is that we have a earthly father. And earthly fathers are not perfect. Amen? Amen? Thank you, Bill, for saying that the loudest. All right. Earthly fathers are not perfect. And some of your perception of your heavenly father is through your earthly father. And let me tell you what, there are some really, really bad earthly fathers too. Terrible things that fathers have done to their children, their families. And we look at that and we get a skewed view of who God is because of that. Your earthly father is not perfect. Your heavenly father is. And all those things that I just gave to you is how your heavenly father views you. One of the things you may need to do in your life is forgive your earthly father for what he has done. Whatever it is, and that can be really, really hard at times. Because as earthly fathers, we are not perfect. We make mistakes. We sin. But your heavenly Father is perfect. He never forsakes you, never forgets you. He is always with you. And so God said, when you want to know something that characterizes me, I am. And I am all these things I just shared with you. That's neat, that you have a father, a heavenly father that is perfect. Because as earthly fathers, we're not. And if you're younger here in the room and you're growing up and you have a family, you will not be a perfect father or mother. You won't. So be careful how you judge your own parents. Because you're going to be a parent one day. But you do have a heavenly father who is perfect, who loves you, who is the great I am. That is God's name. God says, respect my name, honor my name. Well, what does a name include? Now we're gonna go in a little different direction here. Okay? A name includes a number of things. So when you use somebody's name, there's three things I want you to remember about it. Number one is reputation. Bound up in anybody's name is reputation. You think of the nature of that person, whether good or bad. There's reputation in a name. And in God's name, there is reputation. But in other people's names, there's reputation. How about if I say this name? Hitler. What do you think of that name? What reputation is tied up with Hitler? Not really good stuff. How about Saddam Hussein? What do you think of in those names? That is reputation. You think of not good things with those people. How about this? How about Martin Luther King? What do you think of in terms of reputation there? How about Billy Graham? So within everybody's name and in God's name, there is reputation. So that's what's part of a name. But there's more. Second thing is character. It's the features of a person. What you are. Character. Let me give you another name. How about this one? Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa. What kind of character do you think of? Helping, encouraging, loving, supporting. So within a name is both reputation and character. And finally within a name is the idea of authority. Authority within a name. Let me give you an example of authority. If you were to be chased by someone and they were to say to you, or if something happened, stop in the name of Bugs Bunny. Is there much authority in that name? I don't think so. Stop in the name of Bugs Bunny. No, but if somebody said, if it were a policeman, said, stop in the name of the law, now you should stop. I recognize people don't, but you should. There is authority there that is given, and a name includes authority. Those things are part and parcel of what's involved in a name. God says this in that commandment, don't misuse my name. It's a big deal to me. God says, this is my name. It is sacred. It is holy. Don't misuse it. Well, how do we misuse God's name? How do we go about doing it? All right, now let's set this down. Let's go ahead on your outline. Let's continue on here with ways to misuse God's name. Ways to misuse God's name. All right, the first one is to insult. There's a bunch of little blanks there. There should be a word for each blank if I've worked this out right. There is insult. Now, under this category, we're going to talk about just briefly using profanity to express irritation. Using profanity to express irritation. Recently I read this. America is one of the most foul-mouthed nations in the world and becoming more so. What we put up with in watching movies, TV, books, CDs, all of it contains profanity. We have garbage-mouthed comedians. We have garbage-mouthed people. Using profanity appears to be an accepted way of life, although it is wrong. All right, so why do people swear? And in this context, I'm tying in the idea of swearing and using God's name. God says, don't misuse my name. And unfortunately, how often do you hear people say, God damn it? God says, my name is sacred and holy, and one of the ways that you and I and people misuse his name is to insult God by using it in that way. This little statement goes on to say, why do people swear? Do they do it to impress each other? When somebody says blankety blank blank blank, now I'm either a manly man or a liberated woman. Any idiot can swear. It takes no IQ, no intelligence, no education. It does not show anything. Actually, it's interesting what the scripture says. The scripture says it takes maturity to control your tongue and to say things in a decent, orderly way. A verse for that is Ephesians 4:29, if you just want to write it down. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good, that it may give grace to those who hear. Ways that we misuse God's name, and God says this is a big deal. Do not use my name in reference to swearing or cursing. The other one that is just as bad is to say, Jesus Christ! Gosh! Just as bad. It's another form of God's name. And, you hear that a lot, too. That is misusing God's name. It's interesting what God says. I'm going to go through a number of these different ways, and then I'm going to get back to Exodus 7b, because God talks about what happens when you misuse my name. Okay, the next one then is to indulge. Indulge. This is kind of interesting. There are people who use God and say this, God didn't want me to clean up the house. God didn't want me to go find a job. God didn't want me to get out of bed. God gets blamed for so much, and he has absolutely nothing to do with most of that stuff. But yet people use God in a way to indulge them. They use God for a cover. That is misusing his name when you use it in that context. There's more. How about this? How about intimidate? Intimidate. God told me what you should do. Some people like to tell others, and they use God's name to intimidate. I told you what to do concerning buying a car, doing this. It's interesting. Forgery is the idea, is when you use somebody else's name to get what you want. There's a whole lot of spiritual forgery going on, where people take God's name to intimidate others, to tell them this is what you should do, or God told me to do this. Whenever you hear people say that, be very careful. Just be very careful. They use God's name to intimidate. Next, to impress. To impress. These are people, and I have some friends that actually do this today, and I've actually talked to them about it, and I don't think it's all in a bad sense, but every other word is, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't that terrific? And there's nothing wrong with that, but when it keeps getting strung together and it's statement after statement after statement, be careful with that. They're proving, one possibility is they're proving their own spirituality by using a bunch of religious phrases. They use Jesus in the sentence. They say God this or God that, and you just got to be careful. Be careful. When God says, I have a sacred name and it is I am, God doesn't expect you to use it every minute. It's something special about it, sacred and holy. The final one is impulsively. Impulsively. I just caught a 10-pound fish. Oh, my God! Susie's pregnant. Oh, my God! I'm being a little louder today than I normally are, but I'm making a point. That is using God's name impulsively. Oh, my God! I hear it, unfortunately, all the time. You're reducing God to the level of a wow at this point. Wow! You say, oh, my God! It is, I don't know. Don't make God an exclamation point. God is not to be an exclamation point at the end of a sentence. That is misusing his name. Don't use God's name flippantly. Flippantly. Finally, use his name with respect. Don't reduce God to a wow. Now, these are some different ways that you can misuse God's name. Now, the third commandment is, keep my name holy. And then let's go to that verse again, Exodus 7. B, the second part of that verse is this, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. In other words, God says, you misuse my name, you will be held accountable. Here it's held guilty. And you know what? He doesn't define what he does. It's interesting. He doesn't define it, but you can make sure that God knows hearts and souls and spirits of the person. He doesn't tell us what that means, and I'm not sure. But there will be some kind of penalty, consequence in God's eyes because he says, I am the great I am. Don't misuse my name. And if you do misuse my name, I will not hold you guiltless. And there's some penalty that he has. Problem is, we've all done this at times. Problem is, I don't think sometimes we realize just how important God's name is to him. God is serious. Don't offend the creator of the universe by misusing his name. He takes it very seriously, or it wouldn't have been one of the Ten Commandments. Isn't that interesting? But it's one of them, and that's God. And so we'll just say, okay, God, we'll do it. Okay, second, ways to correctly use God's name. Let's go to the other side of this. If I've given you just some things to think about, let's look at ways to correctly use God's name. Number one, or A, reverence. Reverence God's name. Reverence means to hold in high regard. high esteem. You revere it. You think of it in a very high way. It's interesting. The Scripture helps us to interpret some of these things. There's a couple of verses written underneath there. I've got them on PowerPoint. Let's bring up Psalm 29:2. Here we go. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. So part of the glory of God is due to His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. So when you say God's name, and you shouldn't probably say it an awful lot, there's not a reason to. When you do, ascribe the glory due His name. Reverence it. Second verse, Psalm 9:10. This is something. Those who know Your name will trust in You, for You, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek You. There is a time to use God's name. God, I'm calling out to You as the great I am. Hear me. I put my trust in You. And God says, I will not forsake those who seek You. Who seek You. Who seek God, I'm sorry. Psalm 9:10. Treat His name with the utmost respect. Use it carefully, lovingly. It's not something that's all the time. God's name used in vain. Boy, that's a tough one, and I hear it a lot. You probably hear it more than I do, especially if you're in school. God's name used in vain. It's a really tough thing. I think you have to have real wisdom here in dealing with that situation. But you'll hear it an awful lot used in that way. Let me ask you this. What if somebody used your mother's name in vain? That would probably irritate you or upset you. They used your mother's name. And we might say something. The problem is, with God's name in vain, it's so common we don't do anything about it. Here's one of these cases where in James chapter 1, we looked at a couple of weeks, you need to pray for wisdom in when to say something and how to say it. But you can do these things the right time, the right way. It's interesting. If you struggle with this in your own life, a couple of things can be very helpful here. Establish no-touch words. Establish no-touch words, a variety of words that you are not going to use in your vocabulary. And anything having to do with God in that way should be a no-touch word. And if you blow it, let me encourage you to establish what's called a swearing jar in your house. Whenever you blow it, put a dollar in the swearing jar. Then you go out and eat dinner on it. And the fine goes up if you keep doing it time and time again. Just some thoughts about this. The other thing related to all this is the whole idea of slang. Slang. And this one I struggle with at times. And I know you do too. Be careful with slang. Doggone it. What am I actually saying? Doggone it. Be careful. Good night shirt. Good grief. Gosh darn it. What is that? Come on. Be careful with your swearing. No, your slang. Yeah, be careful with your swearing too, but be careful with your slang in what you use. What are you really saying? What are you really saying? All right, the first is reverence God's name. The second is represent. Represent God's name. Represent God's name. As a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ and the great I Am, that's who you are following. Represent God's name. 2 Timothy 2:19. This is a very good verse. All right, read this verse with me. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows who are His. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Interesting. Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Probably one of the stronger verses in the Bible that you can read over and not even see it. But if you claim the name of the Lord, one of the things you're doing is representing God's name. And it begins a process in your life of turning away from wickedness, turning away from evil. Your act, the way you act, the way you represent yourself before others, the way you control your mouth says something about who they are. They don't even know how to act around that some of the time. Some of the time you could be put down for that. It's okay. It's okay. Represent God's name because people are watching. And finally, rely. Rely. Ways to correctly use God's name. Rely on God's name. Rely on it. You can use it. Call out for help. Psalm 33:21. It's interesting, probably you've never noticed this. I hadn't before I had done this, but there's a number of verses in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, that speak to God's name, that refer to His name. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in what? His holy name. And God's name is used again. When we rely on God's name, one of the things we have to make sure and that we understand and that we know is in John chapter 20, verse 31. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. There's no other name under heaven and earth that you can claim to be saved other than God's name, Jesus Christ's name. You may have life in His name. So I guess today's just about watching what you say. Maybe today's a little bit more about just understanding more about what God's name means and how important it is. Whenever you hear, I am, hopefully now you have a better picture, a bigger picture of I'm there, I'm with you. I'm following you. I will never leave you. I am. It's a big deal to misuse God's name, and so we don't want to do that. It's interesting. Here's a verse in Matthew 12 I wanted to end with. This is a totally convicting verse. But I tell you that men and women will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. They will give account for every careless word they have spoken. That is a totally convicting statement, is it not? Every careless word that we have spoken, we have to give account for. Be careful what you say, especially in the context of using God's name. Be careful of slang that you use. Because God says, my name is sacred. It's holy. You are to use it, but reverence it and respect it before me. Bow with me for a moment in prayer, would you? Perhaps you don't even know some of these things about God's name. That's okay. That's why we come to church, to understand things. Because I didn't write this. This was written thousands of years ago. Make a commitment to reverence, respect, and rely God's word this morning. Just take a moment. Lord, I pray as we make commitments this morning to respect your name. Lord, that as each one of us may struggle in a different way, I pray for, specifically in my life, the slang that I use. Pray for others that struggle with that. Lord, we don't want to misuse your name. Your name is holy, sacred, and special. Pray, Lord, that you'll help each one of us to remember just how important your name is to you. And for us not to misuse your name for your honor and for your glory. Thank you, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.